As Pastor Steve said, my name is Matt Hogue. I serve as the Church Ministries Director and the District Youth Director for the state of South Carolina. I've been doing this now for 2.5 years. And before that, we spent 7 years at Lake Wylie Christian as the youth pastor. And before that, we were at Southeastern University down in Lakeland, which is where I met Cassandra. And she is holding our six-month-old. And we have a two-year-old little girl, Ellie, and our four-year-old, who's about to turn five, Luke. And when we first left Lake Wylie, we had one child. And in 2.5 years in this position, we've gained two. For those of you who know, that's three kids under five. I need your prayers. It's one of those situations where intercessory prayer is necessary. Not for me, but for my wife, who has to deal with me and the three kids. So anyways, that's our family. And like Pastor Steve said, I'm originally from the Charleston-Somerville area. Grew up there. Grew up at a great church called Faith, where I went to high school. It's funny. My first memory of Pastor Steve, I think, is at Somerville Soccer Club, coaching my brother's team. I think that's when I first met Megan. We were with our parents, and you were coaching, and I think my mom and dad might have been there, but we were just kicking goals. So that's my first memory, is at Somerville Soccer Club. So like that far. Like, I think I was 10, 11 maybe, because I think Logan might have been 7, and I don't know if I'm getting those ages correct or not. But I just, so that's my first memory of you. Like, active memory. Like, I legit remember. And then the second memory is seeing you at the Faith office when you were first planting, and Pastor Larry gave you one of the offices. And I remember walking by. I just have that memory of you studying. And so I just first and foremost want to honor you and Mary Alice. Thank you so much for having us. Thank you so much for your hospitality. And thank you so much just for loving our family. And man, it's just like, y'all are family. And I want to say this. I get the opportunity to travel all over the state. And I love the state of South Carolina. I am a South Carolina boy through and through. And ministry is in my family, missions is in my family, but the local church is something that I just am absolutely in love with. The local church is where community happens. It's where support happens. It's where people come together and they form this bond that honestly is like nothing else in this world. And the leadership that you have at this church is special. Pastor Jordan, it's been great becoming your friend and getting to know you and Morgan. And I have to say this, though. There was one other person who is on staff here. Oh, yeah, Paul. Where is he? Is he around? Okay, if not, it's okay. He knows this. I think I can speak this very clearly. My third year into youth ministry, Paul and I were helping run South Carolina camps at Possum Kingdom. My wife and I were in a very naive, immature season of our ministry, and we were very disgruntled. We were thinking we knew it all and had this grand idea that maybe God was calling us somewhere else. And Pastor Paul sat my wife and I down. I can show you the spot in Possum Kingdom. And allowed the Holy Spirit to use him and speak a word over us that literally shifted our lives. And I am not in this position without that conversation that happened with Pastor Paul. That conversation led to us saying, okay, God, we want to hear your voice. We want your will for our lives. And God spoke very clearly to us that night. And we made the decision that we're going to stay, we're going to be faithful, we're going to love this community in the next 4 years of our life. We're probably the four of the best years of ministry that we had. And it was because Pastor Paul allowed the Holy Spirit to use him to speak life to us, to encourage us, to speak truth to us in a way that couldn't have been received any other way. And so In fact, and so my relationship with Paul goes back further than that. My first time as an intern, I was 19 years old at Faith in Somerville, and I got put with a bunch of middle schoolers at camp. And I had about 20 of them, or maybe less than that, and I got put into a cabin with this youth pastor from Rock Hill called Paul Gaskin. As a 19-year-old, meeting Paul Gaskin, it was fun. It was lively, and there was a lot of energy. This family, this leadership team that you have here is special. And I want you to know how lucky you are, how blessed you are to have a church that has leadership like this and has a heart for a community like Rock Hill. My wife and I are very fond of Rock Hill. We lived in Rock Hill for 5 years. Before that, we lived in Lake Wiley for 2. My wife was a teacher at Westminster Catawba, literally right there. And so this is home. Like this is where we love to be. And so this is an amazing opportunity to be with you. Just a little bit about my story. I come from a missional background, like I said earlier. My grandparents were missionaries to Bolivia, South America. My mom was born on the mission field. And so I got a unique perspective. Hearing my grandmother's stories of their missionary adventures and everything that they've done. And they started off as Baptist missionaries, and through this Baptist missionary experience, they go down to Bolivia, and as they're there, they meet 2 Pentecostal missionaries, and they become very close friends with these Pentecostal missionaries. And one day in the kitchen of this Pentecostal couple, my grandparents received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the Baptists did not like that. They said, "You got to go." And so they came back to the States and did some missions work along the Texas-Mexico border, and then eventually settled back in Tennessee, which is where my grandmother's side of the family is all at. And they planted a church there. And then eventually they began to pursue going back to the mission field, going back to Bolivia. And that's where they eventually landed and did a lot of their ministry for a number of years. In fact, my grandmother started missionettes in Bolivia. And so that's kind of my heritage. They had 6 kids. My mom was the middle. And some of you know my uncle, Richard Stewart. That is my uncle on my mom's side, Richard Stewart. He is the patriarch of our family now since my grandfather has passed. And he is someone that I look up to. And in fact, I was called into ministry on my first missions trip to Montana at the Indian youth camp that he runs. And so it's everything's intertwined. Everything is intertwined. And I want you to know this, that when it comes to missions, it's as simple as understanding the why behind the what. Understanding that God doesn't do anything by accident. God has a plan, God has a purpose, and it's not as difficult as people make it to be. Some of us overcomplicate things. I'm one of those people. We get busy, we get caught up into life, and we forget the base foundation that we must have when it comes to our walk with Christ, and it's this, Jesus. Right? It starts off understanding that when we talk about the missional church, which is what I want to talk to you about this morning, that's the title of my message, is the missional church. It's that God calls his church to a mission, to be missional. And that mission is to reunite people with Jesus. And the first thing that he calls us to, though, is not to do, but to come. And for us, we have to understand that a mission-centered church is a gospel-centered church. Christocentric. Christ is the center. Many of you, all of you, have your own story and have had your salvation experience and what God freed you from, delivered you from, saved you from. And the life that was transformed is now who you are. We all have this individual story, and what's crazy is that we as Christians get really busy, right? And it's a lot of run, 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 do, 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 do. But the truth of the matter is we cannot forget that at the base of it all, we must return to the feet of Jesus. I'm reminded of the story in Luke. If you would, you can turn your Bibles to Luke chapter. I want to make sure I get there. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. And then we're going to jump to Romans. Okay. Sound good? Let me know when you're there. Says this, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all of these details. Focus on this verse right here in verse 42. It says this, there is only one thing. Look at your neighbor, say one thing worth being concerned about. I don't know about you, but if Jesus says something, it's going to say it's important. So for him in this moment to have this conversation with Martha, to say there is only one thing worth being concerned about, Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away. And that is sitting at the feet of Jesus. A missional church must be a Christ-centered church. It must constantly have its heart open to what Jesus is speaking and what Jesus is doing. And ultimately, it's a choice. God does not force his mission on you and on me. It's our choice to walk this out. The story of the church, though, is not a building. It's not a group of people. The church is an individual. It's me. It's you. It's understanding that we are the church. And no individual can claim to be a part of the church and not be involved with what's going on and the mission that it is involved in. But we first must sit at the feet of Jesus, this mission that is God-given, it's God-ordained, and something that we all get to be a part of, this great story that Jesus is writing. The local church is that thing that Jesus ordained, that Jesus set up, that Jesus created for the purpose of reconciling mankind to himself. Remember, the church doesn't save people. The church creates avenues and opportunities and atmospheres for us to meet Jesus. Again, the church is not a building. It's the people. It's the individuals. Like I said, it's our stories. And we all must center ourselves on the presence of God. In Romans, we see Paul write this. For Moses writes that the law's way of making a person right with God requires obedience to all of its commands. But faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart who will go up to heaven, and don't say who will go down to the place of the dead. In fact, it says the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. Here we go. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then Paul continues. Okay? And this is very important. He goes back to Isaiah and says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Rock Hill First has a reputation. Did you know that? You have a reputation in our state. Your reputation in the state is that you care about your city, you care about your people, and you love missions. Those are the three things that since Pastor Bernie was the pastor, and now that Pastor Steve is the pastor, that is your reputation in the state. But you can't just stake yourself on your reputation. You need to understand that that has to continue to the next generation. Young adults, young people, look at me. This reputation that this church has developed is something that you have to understand needs to continue from generation to generation. That's why it's important to make sure that you are raising up disciples of the next generation so that this great church can continue to have the reputation of serving this community, loving missions, and loving its people. We're one generation, church, away from it going extinct. We cannot be a generation that drops the baton. We have to understand that at its core, we need to create avenues and opportunity for people to meet with Jesus. And we get to be the vessels, the beautiful feet that point people to the good news of the gospel, who Jesus is, his death, his resurrection, and his teachings. So church, I challenge you this morning. A missional church is Jesus-centered. It's gospel-centered. Before I go any further, I want to pray. Jesus, I thank you for this church. I thank you for what you're doing throughout each and every single individual in this room. And God, I thank you that you use them in mighty and powerful ways. But God, first and foremost, you just want relationship with them. You just want them to sit at your feet and be in your presence. And God, I thank you, Lord, that you give us the opportunity to use our gifts and our talents and our abilities to be your hands and feet in this community and in our world. But God, may we not forget the most important thing, and that is to be in your presence. And so, Father, we invite you in this place again. We ask you to soften our hearts, to open up our hearts and our minds to your word, to your truth. And God, may you speak through your Holy Spirit to your people, to this church. We love you and we give you the glory. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Church, we cannot get caught up into things that Jesus never asked us to do. Think about that for a second. We can get caught up in a lot. So I now have three kids, like I said, and I have a pretty busy job, and I'm working on my master's degree, and I'm trying to maintain a healthy marriage, and I'm trying to make sure I give enough time to my kids, and I'm also trying to golf. And that becomes a lot. And the truth of the matter is I find myself giving my time to things that probably should not be of high priority. And my wife is laughing at me. And I want to say this, that there are times in our lives where we find ourselves getting caught up, overwhelmed, overworked into things that Jesus never asked us to do, and we wonder why we're so stressed and overwhelmed. We find ourselves like, oh my gosh, I got this. And those are decisions that we've made. Right? Like, we could use the word no, but we don't because we want to be a part of everything. And, you know, this generation has this big fear of missing out thing, this FOMO thing where it's like, I can't miss that, I can't miss that, I can't miss that. And I want to recenter us as a church. Can we be recentered this morning back to the presence and the feet of Jesus? Because it is there where we hear the voice of God and he reminds us of what's really important for our lives. And what he has called us to. He doesn't just save us just to save us. He saves us to a mission, and that is his mission. And again, I'm going to repeat it over and over again, and that is to reconcile those that are far from him, that are lost. The lost matter. Those that are in your family that are lost, that do not have that relationship with God, that you know would reorient their lives back to peace, matter to God. Those young families in your communities, in your neighborhoods, those people that you work with, the people that you run into at the grocery store, at Walmart. Father in heaven, we know Walmart needs Jesus. You walk in there. I was like, this is proof that sin has entered the room. Listen. We understand that a reconciliation needs to happen, and we get to be the we get to have the opportunity as individuals to be the church in those environments. But we find ourselves just kind of walking through our lives, not really entering in to the relationships that God has placed in our lives as the church. What if we walked in to every relationship, every atmosphere, every place that we go in with the mindset that we are, that I am the church here and now, and that everybody that's around us matters to God? But that's hard when we don't have the right spirit and we haven't been spending time in the presence of the Lord every day, hearing his voice. Listening, saying, God, what are you saying? We neglect being in God's presence and we wonder why we keep doing things that Jesus never asked us to do. It's because, as my wife put it this morning to me, if we're not hearing the voice of Jesus, whose voice are we listening to? Whose voice are we listening to? When it comes down to being a missional church, we need to make sure that we're hearing the right voice. Because this is not our thing. This is his thing. And if it's his thing, that means he gets to give the directions, not us. And so it's not us saying, hey, I got an idea. Like maybe we should do it. Lord, I want to be obedient to what you're speaking. And that takes humility. And that's my second thing this morning is, yes, the first thing is that we must be centered on Christ and his gospel, but we also need to understand that our spirits need to be humble. We must be humble. Romans 12, if you want to flip in your Bibles over to Romans 12, two chapters after Romans 10. Yay, I can do math. I went to Faith Christian School. And we'll start in verse 1, and Paul talks about being a living sacrifice to God. He says this, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. We talk about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, but are we letting God renew our minds? And how do we renew our minds? By spending time in his presence and being at his feet. All of this is connected. All of this flows. But don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. How many of us are worshiping our culture here in the United States, not our Savior and our Creator? We get wrapped up into what's going on in our country, and we let that overwork us, overstress us out. God is still on the throne. His mission is still happening in this world. We got to let God transform our minds to a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Here it is. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Ooh, that's hard to hear. Nobody likes to be reminded, hey, you're not as good as you think you are. I'll never forget, like, in the moments where, like, things were going really well, my dad would be like, remember, son, don't get too high, don't get too low. And then the moments where I feel like the world is ending, my dad's, don't get too high, don't get too low. There is wisdom and understanding who you are in regards to God's word. Okay, this isn't like false humility. This is understanding who you are in Christ. Understanding what's really important for your life. Taking everything that is going on in this world and in your life and filtering it through his word. Filtering it through your relationship with him. Filtering it through the Holy Spirit. Instead of being impulsive and just going and doing and finding yourself lost in a tornado of busyness. Be honest in your own evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. There's a whole sermon in that. We do not need to be critical of other parts of the body. We won't go there. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Now listen, God gives the gifts, right? God is the giver of our gifts, right? The strengths, the abilities that we have, right? Those are his to give. Why do we spend so much time comparing our gifts to other people's gifts? Rock Hill First does not need to compare itself to what other gifted churches are doing. You need to understand your fit, who you are, be confident in the fact that you do have a reputation for loving your people, for loving this community, and for loving missions. Be confident in that. Those are God-given things. Don't worry. Don't get caught up into what other people are doing. Stay focused. Be at the feet of Jesus and serve where you are planted. Church, we cannot get caught up into what everyone else is doing. This comparison game traps us. It overwhelms us, and it takes us down a path that we have no business going down. Don't compare your gifts to others. Going back in, it says, so if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you the leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. We need more people like that. Amen. Goodness gracious. Then he smacks us with the next verse. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. I'm just going to let that sit in for a second. Y'all, don't be fake. Church, don't be fake. Don't be something that you're not. Be who you are and love people well. Don't do it with ulterior motives. You ever been around somebody who's like always has something behind their back? It's like, I feel like this relationship is transactional. I don't think that this is genuine. People can read that. Right? Like, it's like going to a used car lot. Like, I don't think you're telling me the whole truth. Like, I need it all. I need you to be genuine. Guess what? A genuine church understands that we are all sinners in need of a loving and saving God, right? Like, none of us have got it figured out. None of us know everything and got it all worked out, planned out. None of us. Maybe Pastor Bernie, but we won't go there. Listen, we need to understand that we are all in this process of learning and growing, and we need to be real along those lines. Right? The best relationships are the relationships where you can be real with people. Amen? So be genuine with people. Don't just pretend to love them. Really love them. Be authentic. He goes further, says, hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. Look at your neighbor, say genuine. And take delight in honoring each other. He's talking to the church there. Church, you need to honor each other in here. Do not speak ill. Do not gossip. Church, you need to honor one another. Never be lazy, but work hard. Serve the Lord enthusiastically. Some of y'all, I don't know you personally, but like I know where, like the church that I went to, when I went to Lake Wiley, there's just some people who just don't do things enthusiastically, right? Like you walk in and it's like, you good, bro? Like, show up to this, go to this. I love Jesus here. Have some enthusiasm about the fact that Jesus saved you, loved you, and called you. I'm not asking you to like step out of your personality, but within your personality, serve and love and be genuine. Do it enthusiastically. Some of y'all are thinking about someone that person needs to be. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's tempting. Don't go there. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. Look at your neighbor. Say, keep on praying. We got to keep on praying. Don't know what to do. Keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Y'all do that amazingly. Keep doing it. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Morgan, thank you. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that where everyone can see that you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. That's not your burden to carry. Like, that's a heavy burden. Like, give that to the shoulders of the one who can carry those things. Find freedom in taking that weight off of your shoulders. That's a part of being humble. Of understanding. That's not your fight, church. God, that's yours. I'm going to leave it there. I'm trusting you with it. I'm going to walk in your freedom. That's the freedom that Jesus brings. How many of you know, in your families right now, there are some people that need to take that weight off of their shoulders because it is legitimately killing them, spiritually and physically. And they need to take that weight. They need to leave it at the feet of Jesus, and they need to walk in his freedom. Leave that to the righteous anger of God, for the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals, shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing what? Good. These are the characteristics of a missional church. That chapter. Those are the characteristics of a missional church. Humble church. An others first, servant-minded church. Remembering to put others over yourself, being self-aware and knowing who God created you to be, being authentic in your walk with Christ, avoiding comparison, serving where you are planted. And it is in your humility that is based in the security that you have in Christ and his faithfulness. Think of all of the mercies of God that are in your life, all of them. Paul explains them, right? Justification from the guilt and the penalty of sin. That's a mercy every day. You're adopted into the family in Jesus, and you can now identify with Christ. You're placed under God's grace, not law. You're given the Holy Spirit to live within, and you have a promise of help in all affliction. These are mercies, church. You have assurance of a standing in God. And you can be confident in the coming glory. You can have confidence of no separation from the love of God. And you can have confidence in God's continued daily faithfulness to us. Those are the mercies that we should live under. But we can't find those, hear those, see those mercies unless we sit in the presence of Jesus. Unless we sit at his feet. A missional church sits at the feet of Jesus, hears this, takes this, and lives with it. It is with the understanding of who God is and what he is doing in us and through us that we can live missionally. Even more so than that, God also calls us to be globally minded. Right? Jesus' last words in Matthew 28, right? We know the Great Commission. Verse 14, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all of the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, I want to take a moment really quick, and I want us to read this right here. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. Not the commands that you want to teach them. We got far too many churches teaching people to do things that Jesus never said to do. Right? So when we make disciples, we make disciples according to the way Jesus taught, not the way we want to do it. And that goes back down to humility and understanding that everything that we teach and everything that we say on behalf of Jesus in your life better go back to his word. Right? Got quiet. Like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go there. That's for another. I'm going to let Pastor Steve do that. There's a great example of a local church in 3 John. How many of you have read 3 John last year? Anybody read 3 John? Man, there is a section there that really describes what a healthy church looks like. And I want to go there and read it really quick. It says this, 3 John, we're going to go verse 1 through 8, says this. This is a letter from John the elder. I am writing to Gaius, my dear friend, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. Some of the traveling teachers, listen to that, traveling teachers, a.k.a. missionaries, a.k.a. evangelists, recently returned and made me very happy by telling me about your faithfulness and that you are living according to the truth. I could have no greater joy than to hear that my children are following the truth. Says this, verse 5, here it is, you ready? Dear friend, you are being faithful to God when you care for the traveling teachers who pass through, even though they are strangers to you. Man, that sounds a lot like missionaries. Again, y'all have an amazing reputation taking care of missionaries. My uncle loves coming to this church. Loves it. There are churches that missionaries love to go to, and then there are churches the missionaries do not. Church, to be globally minded, you have to take care of your missionaries. God's word. He says you are being faithful to God when you care for them. I want to be known as somebody that is faithful to God. I mean, we need to take care of our missionaries who pass through, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church here of your loving friendship. Missionaries talk, people. That was a joke, but okay. Because they do. Anyways, please continue providing for such teachers in a manner that pleases God. For they are traveling for the Lord, and they accept nothing from people who are not believers. Notice that. So we ourselves should support them so that we can be their partners as they teach the truth. What we see here is a church that sins and is sent. We go under the authority of Jesus, not our own. We believe in this authority and power and understand that we must not seek any other power. We should defy every other power. We know that our powerlessness will not hinder the progress of his kingdom, and we give all of our power unto him. He sends people like Peter, who is rash and headstrong. He sends people like John, who sometimes wishes to call hellfire from heaven to destroy men. And he calls Thomas, who must put his fingers into the print of the nails. He sends people like you and me. But love him and desire to serve him and his mission. This authority and power sends us, guides us, and empowers us. And it is also our responsibility to make sure that those that are doing it overseas are taken care of well. In my opportunity to spend time with my grandmother, I used to go to lunch with her my senior year in high school. I had half days. And before I'd go to work, I would come home and have lunch, and my grandmother was living with us. My grandfather passed away in 97, and so she moved in with us, and so I grew up with a missionary in the house. And it was during those moments with my grandmother where I received great wisdom, and my heart for missions and my heart for ministry was fostered, and it would be at restaurants. Like, if you've been in the Somerville, Charleston area, she'd love to go to Gilligan's, and we would go to the one in Goose Creek, and we'd sit there, and she would tell me mission story after mission story after mission story that would either make me so confused or would make me cry. In church, what we have to understand is those mission stories don't happen unless they're sent. Like, there was a young boy that my grandmother would tell me the story of how when they were in Bolivia, he was demon-possessed, and his family was concerned, didn't know what to do, and several of the missionaries in the area came into a room, and there's this boy, and he's manifesting, and they just began to pray. And pray. And pray. And after an hour, the missionary said that they had to go, had other things to do. And after another hour, some more missionaries said they had other things to do. My grandmother was in there for 5 hours praying for this boy, where he finally was free. That doesn't happen if our missionaries are not sent. And we get to play a part in what God is doing all around the world through our missionaries. And one of the things that she used to say was, the best thing that ever happened to us is that we went from the Baptists to the Assemblies of God, because the Assemblies of God take care of their missionaries. These missionaries rely on us. My grandparents had speed the light vehicle so that they could go into the mountains of Bolivia. They received help through BGMC to foster ministries like Missionettes so that they could disciple the next generation of young girls. Church, we get to be a part of that. We get to be a part of things like Project Rescue, in the heart of India, where there is trafficking going on that we can't even imagine. There's ministries that are ministering to these, you know, those young women. Like Convoy of Hope, where when natural disaster ravages a city, they go in and they serve. Get to be a part of things like World Serve International, where they put water wells where there is no clean water, right next to Assemblies of God churches, so that not only do they get clean drinking water, but they also come into contact with the living water. To be a part of the missionary lives like Ken and Tammy Owen as they serve the state of South Carolina, or my uncle Richard Stewart, who's in Montana ministering to the Native American reservations, or David and Amy Cartwright in Costa Rica. And the list goes on and on of the missionaries that we support. And the truth of the matter is we get to be a part of that. And not only do we get to be a part of that because it's good, but we get to be a part of it because it's biblical. And it is in the moments where we sit at the feet of Jesus, where our hearts break and we hear his voice and we hear him and we're obedient to that. And in our humility, we are able to give and we are able to serve out of that heart. That is the missional church.